Hello and welcome to our new series, Bible Prophecy, Plain and Simple, with things going on in the world today. Thought it would be important to have a look at see what the Bible talks about concerning the end times. We read in the scriptures in 2 Peter that prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now the Bible bases its authenticity and its authority on prophecy. Now, to be authentic, that means it's based on facts, accurate and reliable. Authority is one who has the right to give orders. God certainly does that. Now, fulfilled prophecy is evidence of the inspiration of the Scriptures. Prophecy is history written in advance, and history is His story. 2/3 of the Scriptures are prophetic, either in type, symbol, or direct statement. Now, don't miss that. 2/3 of the Scriptures are prophetic. They're dealing with prophecy, and the Bible bases the fact that it is authentic on prophecy. Now, the Bible bases its authenticity and authority on prophecy. More than one half of the Old Testament prophecies and nearly all of the New Testament points to events yet future, and we're going to be looking at that prophecy. The Bible prophecies divide themselves into three divisions: that which is past, which would be fulfilled prophecy; that which is present, which is fulfilling prophecy; and that which is yet future, which is unfulfilled prophecy. Now, concerning Bible prophecies, obviously they have to be prophesied prior to it being fulfilled. But all Bible prophecies were beyond human foresight. For instance, if I prophesied and said it was going to rain tomorrow, well, I could check the weather forecast and get that information. As a matter of fact, when the days of Noah, when they prophesied that it was going to rain, it had never rained at that period. God had watered the ground with a dew every night. And so it was beyond human foresight for it to rain. That's what we're talking about when we're saying all Bible prophecies were beyond human foresight. Scriptural prophecies include details and sufficient time elapsed between the prophecy and the fulfillment of the prophecy so as to exclude any human activity. Now, there were 25 specific prophecies made by the Old Testament prophets concerning the betrayal, the trial, the death, and the burial of Jesus. We'll look at just 12 of them. It says in the Old Testament that he would be born of a virgin. He would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be from the lineage of Abraham, that he would be from the tribe of Judah, that he would be heir to King David's throne, and he was. It talks about the massacre of the children at the Messiah's birthplace, that he would be rejected by his own people. He would be silent before his accusers when he was before the accusers. He would be spit upon and they would slap his face. He would be hated without a cause. He would be crucified with criminals and he would be buried in a rich man's grave. Now that's just 12. There's 25 of them. Now looking at the scientific law of compound probabilities. If I were to predict a fire in Toronto next year, the chance would be 1 in 2 that it would happen. If I added another prediction that it would be on June the 1st, that would change to 1 in 4. If I said it would happen at noon, the change then becomes 1 in 8. If I should add another detail, the change would be 1 in 32. And if the details were 10 in number, the chance would be 1 in 1,000. And 24 that it would happen. Now, again, there were 25 specific prophecies made by the Old Testament prophets concerning the betrayal, the trial, the death, and the burial of Jesus. These prophecies were given by different prophets over a period of 1,600 years. They were all literally fulfilled in 24 hours in one person. According to the scientific law of compound probabilities, there was one chance in 33,542,432 that these 25 predictions would be fulfilled as prophesied. Well, actually, there was no chance at all, because when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. And there's a lot of things going to happen here in the very new future that have been prophesied in the Old and the New Testament. Now, there was 109 prophecies literally fulfilled at his first coming. That is, from the cradle to the cross. Applying the scientific law of compound probabilities to this number, the chance was only one in billions and billions that they would be fulfilled in one person. How did it turn out? 100% accuracy. Way back in Deuteronomy 18:22, we read, "And when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him, or be concerned that something undesirable will occur, to be anxious about something. Don't worry about it. God's prophecies always come true." Now, if we compare that with the Gene Dixons of the world, and they make their predictions, at best, 10% of them come true. Now, that's only a 90% failure rate. Not so with the Bible. Bible prophecies are specific, they are detailed, and are always 100% accurate. Now, before we get into more details on prophecy itself, we need to understand the purpose of the Word of God. Why do we have the Bible? Well, first of all, to make God known to man, and then reveal the fall of man, how man became a sinner, revealing the way of salvation, and revealing God's plan and purposes for this world and for those of us who are in it. The Bible deals with four specific individuals: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Satan. The Bible deals with three different places: heaven, earth, and hell. Just a note on how we got the Bible. Hebrews says, "God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets." Now, what is sundry times? By many portions, by many times, and in many ways. Once again, it was written during a period of 1,600 years from B.C. 1492 to A.D. 100. 66 separate books. Now, concerning those books, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, God inspired kings such as David and Solomon, statesmen like Daniel and Nehemiah, priests like Ezra, men who were learned in the wisdom of Egypt, like Moses, and men who were learned in Jewish law, like Paul. Men who were unlearned, they said they were unlearned and ignorant men, James and John. A herdsman named Amos. A tax collector, the most hated man in the world at that time, or in the Jewish world. He was inspired of God to write a whole book, the first book in the New Testament. Fishermen like Peter. A physician whose name was Luke. Mighty seers as Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah. Now, these men were in different parts of the world. Some of them, we have in the Sinai wilderness, on the cliffs of Arabia, in several places in Palestine, in the courts of the temple, at the schools of the prophets at Bethel and Jericho, in the palace of Shushan in Persia, on the banks of the river Chebar in captivity in Babylon, in the dungeons of Rome, such as Paul. Then we have John on the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. Over all of these periods of time, written by all these different people in different places, there is not one single contradiction of these men as they put their prophecies together. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. For example, we cannot understand Leviticus without Hebrews. We cannot understand Daniel without the book of Revelation. We cannot understand Isaiah 53 without Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you study the scriptures, there's three types of languages. One is figurative. Jesus said, harden not your hearts. Obviously, he's speaking figuratively. Others are symbolic, like we get quite a few in Daniel and Revelation, and they are all explained in the context. In the book of Revelation, John said, I saw a star fall from heaven. Now, if that was all it said, then he saw a star fall from heaven. But in the next verse, it says, unto him was given the key to the bottom of the pit. So it's symbolic, and it explains itself in the context of where it is written. Then most of the Bible is literal. If the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, don't seek any other sense, lest it all become nonsense. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, we have the Bible expressions over 2,000 times in the Bible, such as the Lord said, or the Lord spake, saying, or thus saith the Lord. Well, we'll get into it more depth in our next session. Be sure and tune in. In the meantime, remember, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.